Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4, where we will begin this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 4, we do have a couple of birthdays that we get to celebrate this week. Sue Fries has a birthday tomorrow, so make sure that you wish her a happy birthday. And Brad Van Hoosier has a birthday on Friday, so make sure that you wish them a happy birthday for this week. Let's start a series this morning, taking a look at God Himself, but looking at the fact that some basic things, just some basic principles that we may take for granted at times. If somebody was to walk up to you on the street and ask you, "Does God exist?" What would you tell them? What would you say? Would you be able to look at Scripture? Would we look at the world around us? I will tell you that for me, this is a question that when I was younger, even when I became a Christian, that I struggled with. And I grew up in a Christian home. We read the Bible. We studied it. We would be maybe what you would call that typical Christian family. You know, you think about places like Genesis 1 and verse 1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want you to think about this. They have come out of the land of Egypt. They have watched the signs and the wonders and the miracles that God has done. They have been provided for and taken care of. But notice here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. "To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord Himself is God. There is none other besides Him." If you go down to verse 39, "Therefore know this day and consider it in your heart, that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other God." You see, the thing that we find in Scripture, not one time does God ever just explain to people, "You just need to have blind faith." And so oftentimes that is what the world teaches about those that follow after God, that you just have this blind faith, you're ignorant, you would just follow after anything that anybody would have to say. No, here Moses and with the children of Israel is telling you can know that this is God, that you might know in verse 35, the Lord Himself, He is God. There is none other beside Him. That you know this day and consider in your heart, the Lord Himself is God in heaven. You can know those things. This is not some blind faith. We've been looking Sunday mornings at 1 John, and then one of the main words that over and over and over, that idea is to know God. To know in 1 John 5 and verse 13, if you have salvation. And so many of these arguments that are scientific arguments, we could go through the ontological and teleological and cosmological arguments. But specifically, I want to think about the biblical argument that shows us time and time and time again that there is truly a God. If you look at Psalm 33, and I'm going to warn you now, we're going a lot of places today, so I hope you brought your turning fingers with you to be able to turn some pages. But Psalm 33, verse number 6, we think about Genesis 1 and verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Here in Psalm 33 in verse number 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses." You see that? By the word of the Lord, the heavens came by the breath of His mouth. Everything was created. Everything was made. Staying there in Psalm, go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And again, we look at these scriptures to be able to see and understand that this is not some blind faith that we have in who God is. But Psalm 147 and verse number 4, He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. And we can look at all these scientific things and we can see the billions and trillions, even the quadrillions of miles in between a lot of these stars. And you think of the fact that we try to limit God at times, right? But how could God be able to know all of these stars and everything by name? If you set out at night, told you this before, the first night that we moved here, put a blanket out on the ground to shut off all the outside lights and everything, and we laid down and on the ground and looked up at the sky and looked up at the stars. And even my kids were like, whoa, we've seen stars, but not like this. Not that many stars. The city lights and things reflect off and make it difficult to see. When you sit down and actually look at all of those, notice here he counts the number of the stars. Why? Because he's the one that created them, spoke them into existence. He knows them by name. When you think about God and how incredible he is and all that he knows, it's incredible that he thinks of you and I the way that he does. Look at me at Jeremiah chapter 10. We may think of ourselves at times as being minuscule and perhaps even insignificant, but to God that is not the case at all. Here in Jeremiah chapter 10, look at verse number 12. Jeremiah 10 and verse 12. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. He has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. When he utters his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. You know, he made all of this for you and I. And we can look at the world. We can look even at the scientific world, which while they try to disprove God, only prove him over and over, more and more. This place where we live, the earth, any closer to the sun and we burn up, any further away and we freeze to death. God has done this by his power so that you and I have this perfect place to be able to live. But who is God? Look at John chapter 4. When we think about who God is, John chapter 4, we gather this morning to worship God. And we are to worship him as he has decreed, as he has commanded, not how we would like or what we think is best. Just think about John chapter 4 here. In verse 24, Jesus is speaking. He says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit. He doesn't dwell in these physical things that we see. He doesn't dwell in... He's not held by anything that we are held by. Time, space. God is eternal from eternity. God is spirit. And we think about a responsibility then that we have to him in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice there as Paul writes to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 7. He says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Down in verse 17, he says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You and I need to know what we are teaching, why we are teaching it. And to whom are we giving praise? Who do we teach to those around us? Notice that God is not something, because he is spirit, we don't see him as that physical being, that King, immortal and invisible. To God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Why? Because he is worthy of that by all that he has done. And it is not some blind faith. There is no such thing ever found in the scripture. God always gives a foundation for our faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 1, God always gives that foundation for faith. Never does he ask anyone just to go with it because I say. Instead, he gives that foundation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence, something that we can grab a hold of, that confidence that we can have. Understanding and realizing always there is a foundation for our faith to be built upon. Always we can look to the scriptures to be able to see and understand who God is. That this universe that we live in was not just some accident of some random parts coming from nowhere, smacking together and exploding and causing what we have, which is not chaos but order. Every day in the east the sun rises, in the west is where it's going to set. There's no question about it, because it's been that way from the beginning of time when God created it. Always it has been this way. Our days are still numbered in the same way by a 24-hour day. When you think back to how God created everything, its order. Think about those arguments. Teleological argument says the design demands a designer. You can look out in the parking lot and you can see all kinds of vehicles, and all of them wear the stamp of who designed them. And I don't care if you want to argue about whose is better, that makes no difference. Understand, they came from man, they're all going to break down. It's just the way it is. Not with God. It's not that way with God. God gives us that foundation for faith at all times. That faith that you and I get to demonstrate every single day. That faith spoken of in the Scriptures is faith that is preceded by knowledge. That we have that knowledge of Him. You see, I cannot have biblical faith until I have a knowledge of God. It's not possible. I have to know Him, and I can come to know Him through the Scriptures. Faith cannot outrun knowledge, because faith depends on knowledge. Look at Romans chapter 10. Think about these words. We quote them, right? We give the invitation. We think about what God's plan of salvation is. But I want you to look at these words. In Romans chapter 10, Paul writing to the churches at Rome, think about these words that he says to them. We're going to back up to verse number 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. If I can't believe in Him, I can't have faith in Him unless I have a knowledge of Him. And again, over and over throughout the Scriptures, think back to Hebrews chapter 11, all those that demonstrated their faith had a knowledge of God, knew who He was. Staying here in Romans, go to chapter 4 for just a moment and take a look at the man by the name of Abraham. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse number 20. He's talking of Abraham. He says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Do you see that? In verse number 20, that word but, that comes in between unbelief and strengthening in faith? That's that strong belief in who God is. They don't go together. They don't match up. They contradict one another. So instead of having unbelief, Abraham had that strengthening in faith, giving glory to God, knowing who God was. And as verse 21 ends there, that he was able to perform everything that he said. That's the ability that God has. Abraham didn't have some blind faith. He knew God. Knew God was able to fulfill what he had promised. He was able to perform those things. He was strengthened in faith. His faith was unwavering. The same type of faith that you and I can still have today. And the thing is, you think back to Abraham, you and I, with what we get to hold in our hands right here, we have more reasons to believe and more reasons for faith than he did. Because all he had was in his own life. We can look not only at his life, but we can look at Moses. We can look at David. We can look at all of these heroes of faith throughout chapter 11. We can look at the apostles. We can see all these examples. They didn't blindly follow after him. They knew who he was. God exists because over and over and over again, we can look at what he has done around us. We can look at what he has done in the lives of others to see that never was there a time when we see blind faith called on or used. Always, biblical faith was followed by that knowledge of God, knowing who God is and what he could perform. And so what's my role? What's my part? I want to think about this morning. My role, if somebody were to ask me, does God exist? How do you know that God exists? Yes, I could give them all of these other arguments, but I could also make sure that I myself have that faith. I will tell you, like I said, when I was younger, I struggled with this. This was one question that over and over again in my life kept popping up. How do I know that God is there? Yeah, I can look at the order and nature. I can see that these trees that drop their seed, they produce trees after themselves, not any other kind. Animals are the same way. That I can look around and I can see all of those things, but I needed it for me. I needed to know for me. I needed to have that type of faith for myself. And I needed it to go beyond just the physical of what I could see. I needed to be able to gain that knowledge. And I want you to do that with me this morning. Look at Psalm 14. Psalm 14. You know, there are several places that we can go to and look at these things. Places like Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1 says, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see and know and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there's anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. You see, those who don't seek after the truth for themselves are wicked. God will not put up with it. God will not tolerate it. My faith won't save you. Your faith won't save me. But here's the thing. You and I can be those who are seeking after to know what God would have me to do. Am I seeking after the truth to be able to see it and understand it? Psalm 14, beginning in verse 1, says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord? They are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. When you think about the Lord looking down in verse 2, he looks down from heaven on the children of men. Who is seeking to understand me? Who's seeking to know me, to gain that knowledge of me? Are we only corrupt? Or are there those that would look to God? Notice in verse 5, they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. Those who have sought after him, they're righteous. Those that do not, wicked. Those that would say in their hearts there is no God, they are a fool. Meaning that they practice and go after foolishness at all times. They're going to follow after what they would like to do. You think about the children of Israel. Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6 says that there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Chapter 21 and verse 25. The last verse of the book of Judges ends the same way. At that time, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That has been the desire of man. At times to do wicked, to serve themselves. Here, notice this is David writing this psalm. He says that God is therefore the righteous. Those who are seeking to know him. Those who are seeking out the truth. We've got to be those who seek out the truth. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. Notice here. This wise saying, buy the truth, do not sell it. Buy it, gain it, all that you can, bring it in. When we think about our lives, gaining that truth of God's word, to be able to sit down and to show people, not only from the things around them, but from the scriptures themselves, from the way that I live my life, that God truly exists, that truly He is there. We are to buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding, to know who He is, to be able to gain that knowledge of God. Again, there is no blind faith. There's a responsibility you and I have to know God. Look with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Think about these words of Paul as he writes to the church at Thessalonica. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, you and I have to be those that love the truth, that love it, that desire it, that seek after it, that go after it. Not believing those who would tell us just what they think that we want to hear. Man has made that up since the beginning. They've followed after Satan in Genesis chapter 3 when he told Eve that you'll not surely die, but you'll be like God. To be like those, as we've talked about the past few Sunday mornings in 1 John, who will just try to gain knowledge and gain knowledge but not pay attention to what type of knowledge they're gaining. Got to make sure that we love the truth, that we are lovers of the truth, loving the Word of God, to seek after Him, to know who He is. This leads to our diligence. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Paul writes to Timothy, be diligent. King James Version here says, study, to show yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth. We have to give diligence to understanding it. If we want to know God, if we want to know what our faith, who our faith is to be in and what our faith is to look like, then I've got to study His word to get to know Him better and better. I can continue to learn more and more about Him. I can continue to grow closer and closer to Him, but only if I do my part. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to have that type of relationship with Him. Look at Acts chapter 17. Think about Paul on we always go here to think about Paul on Mars Hill. But you have to back up first to understand that we have a responsibility. Not again, it's not for us to have blind faith. Paul, as he would stand before crowds, did not ever expect them to have blind faith. He would go into the synagogue and he would reason from the scriptures about Jesus being the Son of God, about who God was, so that they would have that knowledge. But he has left Thessalonica, and in verse number 10, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Again, I don't have to have blind faith. I can search the scriptures. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures. They wanted to know, to have that love of the truth and what God would have them to do. In 1 Peter chapter 3, think about these words. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to think about you, what your life looks like. Somebody asks you, does God exist? How do you know that God exists? It's a reasonable question. And we can give answers straight from the scripture, because what we desire is to have that knowledge of God, the love of truth, to be able to share with others. And we have a responsibility, not only to God, to ourselves, to those who would ask those questions. Here Peter in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, but sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. That good conscience before God, a conscience that says, I know you, and I've done everything in my power to get and continue to know you. We've got to be ready to give that answer, to give that defense, to be able to help people see and to understand that, yes, truly there is a God. And yes, we've looked at enough scripture to be able to show that it is God who, by the breath of his mouth, is the one who created everything. But also to see, brethren, that you and I have a responsibility that goes beyond being able to tell somebody, well, just look around you in nature. We can look at places like Romans 1 in verse number 20, that his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Yes, they're clearly seen in what we see around us. But he's got to be seen in us. Does God exist? Absolutely he does. Why? Because I have sought the truth. I have loved it. I have studied it. I know him. I have that type of relationship with him to be able to tell you about him. Would you like to sit down and I can tell you all about him? Go back to Acts chapter 17. This is where we'll close this morning. I want you to look at these words as Paul will deliver them. These are the same words that you and I get to deliver today. The same thing that we get to help people to see and to understand. Perhaps you're one here this morning that you think about this in your life for just a moment. Does he exist? Will you tell me this? Does he exist in you? Does he exist in your life? Can you help others to be able to see and understand exactly who God is? Acts chapter 17, in verse 22. Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." And where does he start? The very beginning. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." You understand what Paul said? You're a very religious people. You have an altar to an unknown God. I want to tell you about him. So that you can what? Know him. I want you to know and have that knowledge of him. God who created the worlds, created you and I. God, the one that wants the absolute best for all of us at all times. When we think about God, there is nothing, nothing that God cannot do in our lives, including allowing us to get to know him. Paul here told them he is not far from us. We can know who he is. We can have that knowledge of him, and we can also make sure that we help others to know him as well. There are things that as you look here in these verses that he gives in verse 25 or verse 24 at the end, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. I need him. I need that knowledge of him, to know who he is, to have that relationship with him that will grant me eternal life or help me to receive eternal life. The responsibility that we have is to get into God's word, to study, to know, continue to gain that knowledge of him so that we can help others. And we are able to then give that defense to help others see exactly who God is and what he does in our lives, why we live our lives the way that we do. Just as Paul here did with those in Athens, we can do with the people that we come into contact with every day to help them to know truly that God does exist and that he is the one that we live our lives for every day so we can spend eternity with him. Man keeps coming up with their own ways to be pleasing unto God. Man keeps trying to come up with their own ways in order to have salvation. God has given us his plan of salvation. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, as we read. My faith isn't some blind faith. My faith is not in man. My faith is in God because I have read his word to know and understand who he is. It causes me then to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, be willing to confess his name, live my life a different way, not the same way that I've lived, but instead I live for him every single day. Here in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, to change, to follow after him. Why? Verse 31 says that he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. We believe and trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We reenact that death, burial, and resurrection in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. We rise to walk in newness of life after being baptized, having our sins washed away, and we live faithful unto death so that we can live with him for all eternity. This morning I would ask you to think about you for a moment. If someone was to stop you and ask you a question, does God exist? What would you tell them? Would you help them to use to understand? And would they be able to see your belief in the way that you live your life, or would they be able, by the way we live our life, to say we have blind faith, that it's not centered on anything, that there's no foundation to support it? Or by the way that we live our life, would they see God living in us? This morning I would ask you where you're at with him. Do you know him? Do you have that relationship with him? Do you continue to get to know him every single day, to trust in him? Maybe as a child of God, your faith has waned and you've gone back to the ways of the world, and there are things that you need to do to make your life right with him. This morning, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.